Well, we're back in Matthew chapter 7. Actually, we're still on that Sermon on the Mount. And we have looked in the past and in this section on real righteousness, not false righteousness. Remember the hypocritical ways that the Pharisees were doing? Jesus said, if your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll not even get into the kingdom of heaven, right? We looked at real worship, where the worship was from the heart. Where it was real prayer, not prayer so everybody else would see. Real giving, giving that was in secret, not for the sake that others would be get something out of it. Thank you, Francis. And the other one was real possessions, and that's what we looked at last week. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. If your focus is on the temporary things of this world, that's not the real possessions. They will all perish with this old body that we have, or some of you have young ones, but the older bodies that we have, are eventually they're all going to get old and go. But the last thing I want to look at in this particular section is real relationships. And this is where we're going to go today Matthew chapter 7. So before we do, let's pray. Lord, open the scriptures to us. Give us some understanding that we might be transformed, Lord. We thank you that the gospel calls us to real living, Lord. A living that is startlingly different than the world's way of living. And Lord, we need this in our lives, and we need it every day. And Lord, I'd be the first one to say that I come short in every one of these things, Lord, in my own place, my own strength, and my own power. But Lord, you're my righteousness, O God, and you're my worship, Lord, to present myself to you and to trust you to cause me to be a worshiper of you in spirit and truth, as the Word of God says. You're, Lord, my real possession, Lord. And Lord, you're the only way that I can have right relationships and real relationships with people. We need you for all these things, Lord. We need Jesus, and we acknowledge it freely this morning that the only answer for this broken world is Jesus Christ. And the only answer for our broken hearts and the broken people around us is Jesus. But we thank you there is an answer, and we pray that we'll have a little better understanding of relationships with others today as we look in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Famous scripture. Heard this one before? Yes. Judge not that you be not judged. Have you ever heard it before? I'm sure most of us have. Have we not? Maybe you said it before. Especially if somebody pointed out one of your faults. Whoa. Don't judge. You're not supposed to judge, right? Well, Jesus said these words, so they carry a lot of weight, don't they? Judge not that you be not judged. Now, these two things say something. The first part says, don't what? Don't judge. And the second part says, well, if you do, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be judged. Okay? So, it ought to cause you to really pause and think about what you say about others. Shouldn't it? Very, very seriously, right? Because whatever judgment, for what judgment you judge, you'll be judged in the same manner. Right? How you can look at others and how you treat others is going to have a huge effect on how you will be treated. Not only by the Lord, but by others as well. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What you dish out, you're going to get back. You reap what you sow, it says in the book of Galatians. Some people in the modern day use the word karma. I don't like the word because karma carries with it something further. It comes from the Indian philosophy, the idea that we're going to, Leonard, here is a man, but if he doesn't quite, do it good, then the next time he's going to come back as a bug or whatever, and his karma says he's going to come back as a bug. We don't know. We don't know what we're going to come back as, according to this philosophy. But we don't come back. You only go around once. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, judgment. Okay? Once to die. You're not going to die 1,000 times. You're not going to come back as this, that, and the other thing. But the idea of karma is reaping what you sow. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ did something, and if he hadn't stepped in and do something about reaping what we sow, none of us would ever get to heaven, because Christ stepped in and he took our judgment. He took what we've done wrong, he took on his shoulders so that we would not experience a lost eternity. But however, what he's dealing with here is how we relate to other people. And one of the things that we are very quick to do is to judge others. Would you say that that's probably a safe assessment of all of us at least a few times in our lives? Very quick to pass judgment on others. Very quick to try to figure out what's really going on in that person's head, right? I know what they're really thinking. They're saying one thing, but I know what they're thinking. Now, one of the things that I've encouraged people, and often had to encourage a lot of people, and sometimes myself, get out of other people's heads. Listen, you got enough stuff going on in here without trying to get into somebody else's head, right? You take people at face value, and you treat them at face value. It doesn't mean you're, we'll look at some other verses to balance this out, okay? But the beginning of this is be careful. Be very careful how you treat others and what you think about others and what you say about others. Oh, be careful. How easy it is to cause great damage with that tongue of ours and what damage it can do. So Jesus here is speaking about how we're relating to other people. He says, judge not that you be not judged. And he says, listen, what you do is going to have an effect. It's going to come back at you. Now, does this mean that we never make a judgment call about anything? No? Well, let's look and see what happens in the scriptures. Jesus said this in John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So, Jesus says that we do make judgments, right? You have to. You have to make judgment calls every single day of your life. But there's a difference between that and the kind of judgments that the Pharisees had come up with, where they were thinking themselves better than others. Remember, I often go back to this passage where the Pharisee went in the temple to pray, and he says, Lord, I thank you I'm not as other men are, right? And then he begins to espouse how good he is and how wonderful he is and how terrible that sinner over there is. Jesus made judgments, and he told us to. He said, beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? We'll be looking at this passage in a couple of weeks' time. But here Jesus is actually saying you need to discern whether it's good judgment or bad judgment, whether this is true or whether it's not. You need to discern whether something is true or not. You know, here's what Jesus said in John 12:47. If anyone hears my words and does not believe it, do not judge him. Okay? For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Oh, we could have that kind of attitude, right? Yeah. I didn't come to judge people. I didn't come to judge broken people and hurt people and people that have need. That's not my position, is it? It's not yours either, is it? No. What do we come to do? Jesus came to save people. You see, the Bible tells us the whole world is already condemned. The whole world is already condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. So you don't have to go out and condemn people. We're already living in condemnation. You got to go out and help people to get saved so they come out from under being condemned, right? We're here to rescue people, not to tramp on them and destroy them. There is a day of judgment coming. And because people are already in a place of being condemned, we're there to try and help lift people up. So there's no point in going around judging everybody because you're only judging yourself in that sense. That make sense? But listen what Jesus said. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. Okay, here's the real judgment. Okay, this is the real thing that can do the judging. What is it? He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. What? The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. God's word will do all the judging that needs to be done. And that's why when we lay out the word of God and we lay out the truth, then it will balance things out. It will prove what is right and what is wrong. So that it's not a place for us to be going around making personal judgments, but we are to have a discernment that the Bible speaks about, and there's passages in the scripture where the Bible says the saints are to judge one another. It does say that. Where we're, yes, Bill. Yeah, well, it's like a mirror. The Bible says you look in a mirror and it shows you what you're really like, right? That's true. And sometimes in the preaching of the Word of God, you may feel that the Word of God is discerning and showing you what's going on. And so we need to understand these things. We need to understand that God is a judge and he will judge. But it's his place. And what he has to say is what's going to stand the test at the end of the day. So that if I'm broken and I'm I'm doing things that are wrong, and somebody comes to me and says, you know, those things are, you need help in your life. And they say, well, what do I need to do? Well, these things are not right. There needs to be some change in your life. And, you know, in a loving, gentle way and at appropriate time, you help to point out where there's areas of need in their life. That is not judging the person. That is helping the person. Remember what it says in Galatians? It says, see if I can find it here. Yeah, dear brothers and sisters, if any other believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So somebody's struggling, you're not there to condemn them, you're there to help them, right, with their need. And so we have this, another famous statement by Jesus, really, where he says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Yeah, Jesus had a sense of humor, right? He had a sense of humor. I mean, can you imagine? A plank was really a beam. So he says, you're walking around with a beam in your eye. Not a splinter, but a beam, right? And you're trying, and you're looking at the speck that's in your brother's eye. You want to get the speck out of your brother. Oh, you got a problem there, brother. Oh, I got to help you. You really have a problem, right? And in the meantime, I'm the man with the problem, right? But I'm busy trying to get the problem out of somebody else's eye. How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Well, if you have a plank in your eye, how are you going to be able to get a speck of dust out of somebody else's? Are you going to be able to? You aren't. You're not going to be able to see. There's no way you're going to be able to discern what's really happening, because you can't see properly. You're blinded. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, hypocrite. Ooh, that's kind of tough, isn't it? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then what does he say? Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He doesn't say to ignore the problem that your brother's experiencing, but he says, get right first, right? The psalmist said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. The first thing we need to do is say, Lord, show me where I'm at. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Let him see what you, let a man see where you're at. Where am I at? Before I go looking at anybody else. It doesn't mean we don't look at other people, but it means that we look with love, that we're caring, and that we're out to really bless people. We're out to save people, not to condemn them. There's a lot of hurting people, a lot of broken people. Can you find something wrong with somebody else? Is it hard to find something wrong with somebody else? Is it hard? Oh, no. We're good at that. You need a course in that? Does anybody need? Let's have a 6-week course on how to find fault with other people. Huh? Do we need that? I don't think so. We don't need a 5-minute course on that. We're already well trained in it. The world works in this direction continually. And so we certainly need a counterbalance. And I would rather err on the caution of judging rightly or being careful in judging than to be overly picky and overly judgmental. I would rather err the other way. And you know, some people might be, you know, feel that that's a little bit too much, but it's not. Because the whole world is in this direction continually, always finding something wrong with somebody and making sure that somebody else knows about it. Isn't that what we're like? I'm like that. I am. I can be like that so easily. And it's work not to be that way. It takes the power of the Spirit of God. Listen, we're all broken people. And so you can always find some brokenness in somebody, can't you? You don't have to look far. Look at yourself. Is there brokenness in your own life? I'm sure there is. And that's what Jesus is really saying here. Listen, who are you? And what do you have to say when so many broken people are around you, but you're broken too? Get the planks out of your own eye. And then you can help somebody else. Real relationships are based on a real love for people, where you're not going to be unconcerned about the problem that somebody might have, but that you're going to make sure that you're in a good space to be able to do it. And I'll go back to that passage here in Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, then you who are godly, you who are spiritual, it says, should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Yes?
Another thing, Kathy said this morning, what would you pray for? And another thing, you might, I don't know, find this person and they've got a child or something, and you have children.
Yeah.
You yourselves, I mean, can go in an acid and become a vegetable.
You can
become a special need.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, there's all kinds of judgments that are going on in the world, aren't there? And oh, how important it is that we are a people who are full of love. Let's err on that side, okay? Let's be careful, really careful, on how we treat other people, because real relationships are relationships of love. It does not mean we don't deal with sin, and sometimes it's hard and difficult. The Apostle Paul in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a guy who was having sexual relationships with his father's wife in the church. And not in the building, but in the fellowship. Now that would have been his stepmother, okay? And Paul writes and he says, I wrote to you before, now I'm telling you, you have to deal with this issue. You have to have this person, if they don't repent, then they have to be removed from fellowship. Is that an easy thing to do?
No.
But it's in the Bible. Yes. Now, was that wrong for Paul to do that?
No.
Why? Because he said, if you're going to let that sin go on, then it's going to creep through the whole bunch. A little sin, a little, will creep through the whole thing. And then he gives a list of things that you need to deal with. But you deal with them in love. And the whole purpose is to win them. It says to save that person, to rescue that person. That's the reason behind sometimes discipline. But it's a love discipline. And it's not a discipline according to what you feel or what you'd like or what you don't like. It's a discipline that's according to the Word of God. But boy, great care has to be taken in any pathway such as that, that we are very careful. And that's what it says here. You've got to be some careful. And you need to be certainly walking with in the Spirit of God, humbly and gently before God. Yeah.
Even here, if someone felt that they were righteous with the Lord.
Okay, yeah.
And then judged, then the being would automatically. Once they made that judgment, that would be the being.
If it's their own judgments, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And we need to go by the Word of God. Yeah. So, you know, it's probably very safe for most of us to judge far less than we do. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yeah. Righteous judgment probably doesn't come that easily. So let's encourage one another and let's be careful to spend some time looking at ourselves before we look at others. You know the old stories, when you're pointing one finger at somebody, three are pointing back at you, you know. But that's the case. And that's what Jesus is actually saying here. And he's encouraging people to do things the right way. But then he makes a startling statement. What is it? Do not give, Matthew 7:6, what is holy to the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. What's this got to do with relationships? Okay. That's very close to the mark. Now, somehow Jesus brings in dogs and hogs here, right? That's what he brings in, dogs and hogs. Now, he's using this as an example, okay? He is not saying that people are dogs or hogs, but he's giving an illustration. Now, remember, this was an agrarian society that the Jews have nothing to do with, pigs were unclean, right? And dogs were also unclean. And so he's giving a picture here to these people of that day saying, listen, you know, could you imagine having a wonderful string of pearls and a pig comes along, right? This is the picture he's giving. He's giving a little humor here, okay? So there's a pig comes wallowing along. He comes along, right? And you've got this beautiful string of pearls and, oh, they were your mother's or they were your grandmother's and how precious they are. They're precious pearls, right? And you look at the hog and you say, oh, would you like these pearls? So you throw the pearls down before the pig. And what's a pig got to do with pearls?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing, right? What's that? He'd probably eat them, yeah. Yeah, he'd probably just slobber them up. But a pearl has no appreciation. A pig has no appreciation of a pearl. Am I right?
Right.
None at all. And then he says, don't give that which is holy to dogs. A similar picture. A dog doesn't understand holy things, and he's not going to appreciate them. He said, don't throw away what is precious. And so he's still talking about relationships here. And he's talking about how do we relate then to reach out to people, because we're called to love people. We're called to go the extra mile. We already read that, didn't we, with real righteousness. That we're called to go farther than we should ever go in many directions. But you know, there are times when Jesus did the very thing that I said that's written here. Look at what Herod. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, Luke 23:8, for he had desired for a long time to see him. Here's a man who for a long time wanted to see Jesus. Wow, that sounds interesting. That sounds like, wow, I wish we had people like that who wanted to see Jesus, wouldn't you say? Right? Because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Herod heard about all the miracles that Jesus did, and he wanted to see a miracle. He wanted to see one for himself, okay? So then he questioned him with many words, but what did Jesus do? He answered him nothing. Not one answer did Jesus give to Herod. I wonder why. Why do you think that was?
Because Herod was probably a hypocrite, like the Pharisees and the scribes.
Okay, there was lots of people that came and asked Jesus questions, and he answered them. But for Herod, he never answered him one word. It's because Herod was not really seeking God at all, was he? He had his own motives. He had his own ideas. He had put John the Baptist to death. And all he wanted to do was, he wanted a circus. Oh, I finally got Jesus. Perform for me, Jesus. Do a miracle for me, Jesus. But there was no true desire. So, yes.
I believe we have to be careful. When he's talking about the Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all from God.
In the scripture it says that Satan and his millions of angels are amongst us.
Yeah.
Just waiting to get something to on us.
Right.
So they can destroy.
Yeah.
So I think we have to sort of pray to the Lord that he guides us every day, because we can so easily be misled.
Definitely, for sure, no question. We all can easily be misled. And when we see here how Jesus reacted in this situation, we discover, you know, that there is a place where you're not going to be helping someone where it's only going to cause a problem. For example, say if somebody comes up and says, "I want to argue with you about religion. Let's have an argument." And they get into this big argument about religion. And you know, before long, they don't care about what's right or what's not right. All they want to do is what? And they want to win an argument, right? Yeah. And so there's a point where you say, this is no good. This is not helping this person at all. I'm taking the precious truths of God and we're using them for just a platform to have a big argument. And that's not good. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus is not calling people pigs and dogs, okay? He is using an illustration, just like he uses an illustration for people that are sheep, right?
Yes.
Well, you're not a sheep, are you?
No.
No. And so neither are you a pig or a dog, and neither are people out there. He's using an illustration that don't take the precious things and cheapen them. That's really what he's saying, right? Don't cheapen these precious things. They're too precious to be used just to make arguments and have fights over who's right and who's wrong, or to win your own agenda. Well, I've got, you know, even sometimes we can be right, but we can be dead right in a sense. We can be right and wrong at the same time. We're saying things, and we might be right about what we're saying, but our hearts aren't right, and we're taking precious truths and using them to make ourselves look better. And that's, we're the pigs. We're throwing that which is precious down. And we need to, what he's saying is that the truths of the gospel and the good things, these things are precious and they're important, and that they shouldn't be cheapened. And so in our relationships with others, don't use the scriptures to beat up people. because this was just talking about judging, right? Don't use the scriptures in a wrong way. Don't cheapen the preciousness of the truths of God to fit our own agendas and our own things that we want and how we want them, but rather let's use them in the right way so that we're being a blessing to others. Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it doesn't mean at times you're not going to share the truth with them. And there's times when I've had, situations where somebody said, well, I want to have a debate over the scripture. I says, well, I don't like to debate, but I'm willing to talk with you. But there is a point sometimes where you know that it's not going anywhere. But there is that sense of gentleness here and a great respect for the things that are good and righteous and that we don't throw them away. And then Jesus goes on to say, this passage of scripture, this is another very famous one. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. And here, this is such a glorious passage of scripture, and yet it's in the middle of really about relationships with others, and we're going to see why it fits in this way. But it's an encouraging passage. I can remember the first time I heard these words before, but the first time that I knew that Jesus said them, Marie and I were going to a free movie. I wasn't a Christian, neither was Marie, but I was becoming interested in the Bible. I wanted to know truths about the Bible, and I started reading it. And there was a movie called King of Kings showing at the library in Edmonton, Alberta, and anything free, we seemed to be able to find our way to it. So we went to this movie. It was around Easter, and in that film, this guy was preaching, being Jesus, and he was preached the whole Sermon on the Mount. And in the middle of it, he said these words, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." And I started weeping like a baby. I just started weeping. And Marie says, "What's the matter with you?" "I never knew Jesus said those words. I never knew Jesus said those words." "Of course, if Jesus said those words, what's the matter with you?" "I just never knew Jesus said those words." And God touched me. Now, I didn't become a Christian that day, but God touched me in a real way where I suddenly, the word was powerful to me and spoke to my soul. And I realized God has an open door here. God is an open door. He's calling to me and he's saying, "You can ask, and if you ask, it will be given. If you seek, it'll be fine. If you knock, the door will be open." And it suddenly my heart was encouraged that I could find God, because I was seeking at that time. My heart was lifted, that God was approachable, that God cared, that God was inviting. And I remember the guy who was acting standing like this, "Ask and it shall be given you." And it was just a powerful moment in my experience. And it was probably weeks later before I actually accepted Christ as my Savior. But the door, he showed me the door was open. He showed me that I could come to him. And I just want you to understand that that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. He's open. He's got open arms. He's inviting people to come. Isn't that wonderful that he is? That's his heart. Because look what he says here. "Or what man is there among you, who if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" You see, Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to pick some of the rottenest characters in the world, yet they might treat everybody rotten, but if they've got kids, a lot of times, what are they going to do? They'll spoil their kids and be good to their kids or whatever. You know, you might look at somebody and say, "Oh, what a rotten character that is." But then he goes home and he loves his kids, right? He says, "If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him?" And in Luke's gospel, it says, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him?" In other words, he's saying God has an incredibly generous heart, doesn't he? He has an incredible, if we in our evilness often will still give good gifts, how much more of God who is totally good give good things to those that ask him? And so what he's doing is he's just displaying before us the generous heart of God. Now, he's not doing this just to tell you about God's generous heart. He's doing it to tell you, this is the way you need to be, because he says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Therefore. So he's talking about our relationships with others. He says, if this is the way God treats us, if God has an open door policy, if God is full of love and mercy, if God is open to seeking sinners and that people that want him, that he's saying, I'm available, I'm available, I'm available. And you can keep coming to me and I'll keep being there for you and I'll give good gifts. Then Jesus is actually telling you and I, listen, that's the way I want you to be. That's the way I want you to be in this world. That's the kind of relationships that I want you to have with people. I want you to be available. I want you to be ready to give good things to those that ask. I want you to be ready to pour out. Now, he says, use your wise judgment. That's why he talked before about don't throwing away your pearls before pigs, right? You know, I mean, if somebody, you know, somebody is, you know, doing something, taking their money and buying things that are going to destroy them. Should you give them more money to help destroy them? No. In that case, you're only taking something that you worked for, that is worthwhile, and you're throwing it away, and you're making it worse for that person, right? So Jesus is saying, you got to use right judgment here, have right discernment on how you're dealing with others, but boy, listen, you have to have an open door policy and a gentle heart and an approachable heart so that people can come and receive from you and not be turned away. That's the context of this passage, because he talks about our relationships with others, then he talks about how God's heart is, and then he challenges us in Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. It doesn't say whatever men do to you, do to them, right? A lot of people have misinterpreted this. I've heard people actually say that. Well, you do to others as they've done to you. Is that what that says? No. It says, do to others what you would want men to do to you. Right? Treat others the way you would want to be treated. Isn't that what he says? That's what he's talking about here. And he's saying, this is God's heart. How do you want to be treated? Do you want to be turned away whenever you approach somebody? Or do you want to have somebody accept you and love you and care for you and reach out to you? That's the Father heart of God. And he's saying, I want you to have the same heart. That's the way I want you to treat other people. My friends, that's the way Jesus treated us. The Bible says he is kind to the unthankful and the unholy. That's how God is. That's his heart. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Scripture says we were enemies of God, and he still loved us and reached out to us, and he had an open door policy. That's the heart of God. That people who came didn't go away disappointed. Now, we have the picture of discernment where he says he didn't answer Herod a word because he knew that Herod had no real desire to know God whatsoever. If Herod had a real heart cry, Jesus would have been right there for him. Jesus does not turn away a genuine heart cry. And you can see the emphasis that he gives here. It shows that it's a genuine heart cry. It's not a casual thing. Seeking God and knowing God is not casual. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open. It's carrying this further. It's not just a casual thing. This is a pursuit of God. Do you see that in that verse? It's a pursuit of God. And the other thing about this passage of Scripture being put in here is also in dealing with other people, we have a privilege of bringing other people to God in prayer. We can come and seek God because God has an open door policy. Lord, we can bring people before the throne and seek God to do something for them. And we can passionately seek God. And I see passion in this verse. I don't see casual. I see passion. I see real pursuit. And I see promises for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Just the other week in a difficult situation, I asked for prayer, and Marie went right on the internet and Facebook, and she said, you know, 36 people responded right away. We're praying, we're praying, we're praying. And as I went and ministered to a young girl, and she prayed with me to accept Christ, and her life is devastating, and it's going to be a long journey for her still, and keep praying. But, you know, just last week I was in at the GOAT, and Janice was there from Middle River, and she said, oh, the other week when Marie put this to pray for you, you're going into a difficult situation, she said, I felt the Spirit of God come over me and I just had to pray. And I was seeking God. Oh, she said, I felt the Spirit of God prompting me to pray. It's wonderful. It's God at work. And he raises people up to ask, to seek, and to knock, to have the same heart that God has, even in receiving others to ourselves and loving others, but also in bringing others to before the throne of grace and asking and seeking and knocking for them that they might be blessed, that they might be encouraged. This is God's heart. And he wants us to have the same heart towards others. Let's be those who are blessing others, who are giving good things. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Just think about it. Before you react, before you treat someone with disrespect, what do you want to be treated with? How do you want to be approached? Oh, we need this in this world, don't we? This is not God's. This is not the world's way. This is God's way. The Lord can do anything, and he is full of grace. More grace than we can imagine, because that's what he's like. And so I just want to encourage you to real relationships with people. Gentleness, respect, humility, not going around judging people, but encouraging people. Being helpful, being open-hearted, being ready to give, being ready to pour out, being ready to pray for people, to seek God for people, that they will be blessed and that they will know him. And having that heart that says, Lord, let me be out there to people what I would want other people to be to me. To really have that kind of a heart. Remember the great thing that Jesus said, people will know you are my disciples by the love you have towards one another. That's what really counts. It's what really matters. Let's grow in these things. Let's look to the Lord for real relationships. Lord, we pray that you will strengthen us and you will grow us. That, Lord, you will cause us to be careful, Lord, that we won't be constantly judging others, what they think of us, Lord, all that kind of stuff. What they think of this or that. Lord, let's love them. Give us open hearts towards them. Let's pray for them. Father, teach us to pray for them and to be, Lord, filled with grace and mercy and kindness. Lord, we thank you that you are this one who is so full of grace and that you fill us so that we can fill others and be a blessing. Thank you for our time together today, Lord. And we just ask, oh God, that you will richly bless this week and give us opportunity not to go and judge and to condemn, but actually, Lord, to be involved in what you have come to do, and that is to seek and save that which was lost. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.